Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2137, with a release date of Friday, October 12th, 2018, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hurricane Michael targets the southern U.S., Yellowstone National Park celebrates a new repeater, and what's this about lizards on the air? All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report 2137 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9-GCO.
We open this week with breaking news. As Amateur Radio Newsline went to production, northern Florida was being slammed by Hurricane Michael. The ARRL asked field organization leaders to keep them apprised of its emergency frequencies, activation status, and any requests for equipment to assist if necessary. WX4NHC, the amateur radio station at the National Weather Center, was activated as of early Wednesday, October 10th, as was the VOIP Hurricane Net and the Saturn Southern Territory Single Sideband Net. The Cuban Federation of Radio Amateurs reported emergency nets were up and running on 40 and 80 meters in digital modes and on single sideband. The storm was expected to make landfall on the Florida Panhandle and hit southern Alabama. South Central Georgia and North Carolina declared a state of emergency. The VOIP Hurricane Net requested that hams in the hurricane's path or with relay messages into it provide surface and damage report for relay onto WX4NHC. For story updates, please visit Amateur Radio Newsline's page on Facebook. There's a new forum especially for newcomers. Ed Durant, DD5LP, has that story.
The amateur radio satellite community keeps growing, and so does the number of satellites. Now the universe of online satellite forums has also grown and added one more venue, as reported by the president of AMSAT Deutschland, Peter Gulsow, DB2OS. He has announced on the AMSAT bulletin board that the new forum is geared especially towards newcomers in the hopes of opening up new experiences for amateurs and sharing encouragement and tips for first-timers. Although AMSAT Deutschland is hoping as many people will register as possible, guests are also welcome to stop by and visit. The topics are expected to be extensive and are designed to encourage wide-ranging discussions. Peter noted that especially with the launch later this year of Qatar's S-Heil 2 communication satellite and its amateur radio payload, there's plenty of room for more satellite communicators. AMSAT DL has been providing the commercial Qatari satellite project with technical support. Once it is in orbit, it will be capable of linking hams from Thailand to Brazil and will supply the first amateur radio geostationary communications. Satellite enthusiasts or hams who would like to become one can find the forum at this address, forum.amsat-dl.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Our next story celebrates a silent key who music fans may have only known through a song lyric. Andy Morrison, K9AWM, explains.
Music lovers of a certain age will remember Buddy Holly's classic hit Peggy Sue from 1957, and certainly Texans of a certain age might even have known Peggy Sue Guerin, the young girl from Lubbock, Texas, who inspired the rockabilly number. Amateur radio operators of a certain age, however, may remember Peggy Sue as the former K5PSG. First licensed as KE5AKW in 2004, she was able to get the vanity call later. She wasn't exactly an aspiring ham, however, when her former high school classmate Holly turned her into a song lyric. Holly died in 1959 in a plane crash that killed two other rock and rollers. When she took part in the special event station W5B in Lubbock, which commemorated Holly in 2004, she was hooked and got her ticket later that year. Though her license expired in 2014, we can still consider Peggy Sue Guerin a silent key. She died on October 1st at the age of 78. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
Look up in the sky. It's time again for Parachute Mobile, as we hear from Mike Askins, KE5CXP.
Parachute Mobile is what a team of skydiving hams for whom going on the air means being in the air are calling themselves. They are holding the last of this year's missions on the 20th of October to coincide with PacificCon, the Pacific Division Conference of the ARRL, taking place in San Ramon, California. While the hams make their jumps from a small plane elsewhere, the team will have a presence at the Marriott Hotel, where a GOTA station will be set up to help convention goers make contact with the skydivers. Two overhead monitors will also live stream the action as the jumps happen, starting at 10 a.m. local time. This will be Mission 33, and the jumpers will be Mark AF6IM and Rob KC6TYD, using their own call signs as they call QRZ from beneath their parachutes. They'll be operating on 146.430 Simplex, 14.250 on HF, and on Echolink at NE6RD-L. Hams who make contact are being asked to send an email to skydivinghams@gmail.com with details such as the jumper's name, the jump number, and the time of contact. Rob, KC6TYD, told Newsline in an email that this wraps it up for the team for this year. So in this case, the team truly is jumping to conclusions. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
If you think newcomers to the hobby can't make a difference, guess again. Neil Rapp, WB9-VPG, shares this tale of a triumphant repeater project.
Yellowstone National Park was the first national park in the U.S. It's around 63 air miles north to south and 54 air miles east to west. About 4 million people visit the park each year. With a park this size in a sparsely populated area, communications options are slim at best. But that's where ham radio comes in. About 3 years ago, Michael Coulter, W8CI, the spokesperson for the Dayton Hamvention, and his wife Linda, W8AAV, were asked to teach a class on amateur radio at a ranch in Paradise Valley, just outside of Gardner, Montana. They programmed a 2-meter radio with all the repeater listings for the region they could find. They were shocked when they arrived.
I was using 50 watts. But it's pretty depressing. I could not make any contacts at all, couldn't even light up any of the repeaters. And so this kind of led us to begin mapping out ideas of how to impossibly where to place a 2-meter repeater in such a way to cover large areas of the park. We really emphasized just how important this repeater could be for the region.
Despite the absence of a repeater, 25 eager students took up the challenge of learning about amateur radio. Linda put her teaching skills to use, and the class graduated some new hams in a 2-day crash course. And recently, they learned of some other fruits of their labor.
I got an email the other day that was just absolutely astonishing that the group of them had worked really hard, and they started NYARC, North Yellowstone Amateur Radio Club, and it's recognized as a nonprofit in the Montana Corporation. So that just happened on August the 1st. So giving these classes, I want to recognize that my wife is a professional teacher, and she really worked hard with Lauren Clark, KB1Y Delta Delta at ARRL, and also with Gordon West, and had a lot of his material and CDs in tow, as well as Ward Silver's book. So that was what we used, and she had mapped the whole program out. And now, if you're around Gardner, actually, if you're anywhere from on Highway 89, from Livingston all the way to the other side of Lamar Valley, and that's only 10 miles west of the Silver Gate entrance, beautiful, beautiful part of Yellowstone. But it has a coverage on the repeater is 146.98, and that has a 100 hertz tone. So tune into that. Actually, they are having, they're very active with nets and things like that, and there's usually somebody monitoring that. Very exciting to see that take place.
So now if you're in Yellowstone, there's no longer a need to ask. Can you hear me now? For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9 VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the KJ3LR repeater in Bradenton, Florida, on Fridays at 10 p.m. This is probably the busiest time of the year for the young hams in radio scouting, and Bill Stearns, NE4RD, tells us why.
This week in radio scouting, we're 1 week away from the largest scouting event in the world. Jamboree on the Air is the weekend of October 19th through the 21st. All bands and all modes look and listen for CQ Jota. If you're an amateur and have not gotten involved yet, contact your local club. If your local club is not participating and you still want to, contact your local scout council and see what may already be planned in your area and how you can help. You can find your council using the council locator on the scouting.org website. If nothing is currently planned or if current plans aren't reaching your area, you can work with the council or a local unit, pack, troop, or crew to set up a Jota station or arrange for visits to your ham shack. You can also participate just by making QSOs with the many Jota stations that will be on the air. Currently registered stations around the world is approaching 3,000, while stations in the U.S. is approaching 400. Get your station locked in today and get registered through our shortcut at jota2018.k2bsa.net. It's never too late to be involved. For more information on Jota or radio scouting, please visit our website at k2bsa.net. For Amateur Radio Newsline and the K2BSA Amateur Radio Association, this is Bill Stearns, NE4RD.
Hams in California's Bay Area are getting ready for a day of discovery as we hear from Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
For members of the Sonoma County Amateur Radio Club in California, the 8th annual North Bay Science Discovery Day on October 27th may as well be called North Bay Radio Discovery Day. During the festival's hours from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. local time at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, the club will be operating special event station K6S, hoping for contacts on 10 meters, 20 meters, and 40 meters. They'll be operating the station to demonstrate radio to anyone and everyone who stops by. Club Activities Coordinator Daryl Paul said he's working on a special event QSL card as well for the event. Meanwhile, SCRA member Keith Paye, AG6CI, will be talking about satellites, satellite signals, and demonstrating how radio astronomy works using what he calls his IBT, Itty Bitty Telescope, a converted satellite TV dish. He's also hoping to show his portable Super SID system, SID for Sudden Ionospheric Disturbance. The device uses software on a laptop to display a real-time spectrum of signals between 0 and 48 kilohertz, a range that includes U.S. military signals around 25 kilohertz. Keith, who's a director of the Society of Amateur Radio Astronomers, explained to Newsline that the system monitors those signals around the clock and records ionospheric changes caused by the sun. If there's time, he said, he'd also like to operate the special event station, K6S, too. So stop by if you're in the area, or be listening if you're not. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Dave Parks, WB8ODF.
The weekend of October 13th and 14th has been set aside for Europe's big international QSO party, and Ed Durant, DD5LP, has those details.
The next big international QSO party is being hosted by the European Radio Amateurs Organization, and the group is calling it Journey of Discovery. The activity is entirely on 60 meters or 5 megahertz, and it's been organized to encourage the use of this relatively new band for hams in many countries. Get on 5 MHz on October 13th and 14th and operate SSB, CW or digital modes. It's that easy. Participating hams are being asked to call CQ EURAO Party. And you needn't worry about a contact turning into a rag chew. That kind of exchange is being encouraged, with discussions on every topic ranging from the weather, ham shack equipment, or even the city you're transmitting from. Hams are also encouraged to exchange QSL cards, but it is not a contest, and even QSL cards are not necessary. To help organisers gather statistics, logs can be submitted to the email address party@eurao.org in ADIF format with the file name as the ham's call sign. Logs will not qualify for prizes if, however, you submit a log on which at least 10% of your QSOs are confirmed, you will receive a certificate of participation. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
A hospital emergency drill in Ohio got some very real response from hams there recently, as we hear from Phil Thomas, W8RMJ, courtesy of Amateur News Weekly.
MARA, the Mound Amateur Radio Association, located in Miamisburg, Ohio, assisted the Kettering Health Network in a simulated exercise on Thursday, September the 20th. MARA provided communication support at Sycamore Hospital, located in Miamisburg, Ohio, and at the Kettering's new Franklin Emergency Urgent Care Facility, located in Franklin, Ohio. MARA club members assisting in this exercise included Frank, KM8N, Mike, W8VMR, Ken, AC8AV, Bill, KE8JDU, and Dave, NADAT. The Mound Amateur Radio Association was formed in 1962 by employees of the Mound Atomic Energy Facility. MARA's club and meeting room and operational amateur shack is now located in the Mound Historical Park, also located within Miamisburg, Ohio.
That was Phil Thomas, W8RMJ of Amateur News Weekly. For more news of the Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana area, visit AmateurNewsWeekly.com. In this week's World of DX, CIGI DL7DF is operating until October 15th as SV8/DL7DF from Zakynthos Island. Listen for him on 80 through 10 meters using CW, single sideband, and RIDI. His log will be uploaded within 6 months after the activation has concluded. Send QSLs via DL7DF direct or by the DARC Bureau. Listen for Bertrand, DF3FS, operating as TU5MH from the Ivory Coast between the 20th and 29th of October. Bertrand will be on various HF bands using CW and single sideband. QSL via DF3FS or Logbook of the World. QSL requests are being accepted also via Club Logs OQRS, and your own card is not needed. Please do not send QSLs via the Bureau. Use the OQRS system from Club Log for confirmation via the Bureau. And our final story is about some low-power transmitters making their way through the swamps of the UK. As Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, explains, they're operating mobile atop a group of endangered lizards.
Satellites, weather balloons, and other more traditional venues for transmitters have just acquired some unusual company, 24 sand lizards, living in Ealmore Marsh, Farnborough in the UK. Just think of it as lizards on the air, but without any clever award scheme. These lizards are the UK's rarest, and according to a report in the Warrington Guardian, two dozen are now wearing lightweight radio trackers to help scientists at Marwell Wildlife Zoo follow them and study their behaviour, although the trackers are not even 5% of the creature's body weight. University of Southampton PhD student Rachel Gardner told the newspaper that the lizards blend in very well with the environment and as such would be lost from sight in the dense undergrowth. She said their wearing transmitters will make them easier to follow as they make their way through the habitat. The lizard is found throughout Europe and Asia, but has become the focus of conservation efforts in England and Wales, where its numbers have been diminishing. The radio tags are expected to stay in place for a while, or at least until the animals shed their skins, at which point one can assume the lizards will be going QRT. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
With thanks to Allen Labs, Amateur News Weekly, the ARRL, CQ Magazine, EURAO Newsletter, Lloyd Colston, KC5FM, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, K2BSA, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, Sonoma County Radio Amateurs Club, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Variety, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Marie, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2018. All rights reserved.